Kick a little something for them cars that be bumping.
Yeah, all right, but we need a beat that they can front to. Oh, that'll work. Be funky. You know what I'm saying? Cars ride by with the booming system. Cars ride by.
Cars ride by with the booming system. Funky. Of the Florida Representative Escamani.
Representative Escamani, you are recognized in debate.
Mr. Speaker, please just vote no on this bill. That is my debate.
Wow. Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Nobody wants to follow that. I'm sorry.
Representative Andrade, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members, please disregard Representative Escamani's eloquent debate and vote up on this good bill.
The question now recurs in final passage of SB 118. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted?
89 yeas, 20 nays, Mr. Speaker.
Show the bill passes. Read the next bill.
Okay, I like the bill, but also I like the banter. And it's nice to hear representatives having a little bit of fun with each other, especially when they're both very smart people on completely opposite sides of almost everything. Anna Escamani on the liberal side, Alex Andrade on the conservative side, who joins us right now by phone. Representative Andrade, welcome back. Man, I never call you that. Feels so formal. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
Great. It's great. And, you know, can I just take a second and point this out? There are smart conservatives and there are not so smart conservatives. And there are smart liberals and there are not so smart liberals. And Anna Escamani is a smart liberal. I assume that you guys get along even though, or at least you can have, you know, positive interactions, even though you and she probably disagree about almost everything. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't treat you like a subhuman just because you disagree with her. And that's normally like, as long as a Democrat doesn't treat me like I'm less than a human being for having conservative beliefs, you can get along with them. No, I mean, I think she'll most likely be the next mayor of Orlando.
Hmm.
So that's her political trajectory at the moment. So no, you can't take anything away from her performance in the Florida legislature for sure.
Do you see long term down the road, you know, like a statewide candidate for the Democrats as, you know, governor, AG, you know, ag commissioner or something like that?
If she wins if she wins election to become the next mayor of Orlando, then yeah, sure. I mean, that's always a possibility. She'd be the mayor, obviously, of a large, very large metro area.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the name of Orlando's current mayor. You know,
it's a position of prominence.
Not normal.
Okay.
So no, she could. Yeah.
Just speaking, just for a second about not what you guys have done this week, but about interesting developments. And it's not in your chamber; it's in the Senate. But Jason Pizzo, who's another Democrat that I like a lot, who's very smart, sharp, capable, you know, formidable opponent, and you should always want your opponents to be formidable, has now left the Democrat Party, resigned his position as minority leader. That's been taken up by, Lori Berman. And he is now in a no-party affiliate, says that, the Democratic Party has lost its way, needs a future, and they don't want him to be it. How significant is this? Because he's now the third legislator this year, two in the House, one in the Senate, that have left the party.
Oh, I think it's incredibly significant. I mean, he was largely discussed and debated as being a statewide candidate for the Democrats going into next year's election. I think he's almost certainly still going to be a statewide candidate next year. He just won't be a statewide candidate for Democrats.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I certainly could see him running for any of the statewide offices, certainly for AG, I could see that, let alone possibly for governor. So that, which is, you know, going to be a very, very interesting race. Getting back to stuff you guys are doing, the big news is the budget has not happened. So how is this going to work? As I understand it, you guys are going to be off next week. You're not signy dying though, right?
I think we might be. That was the whole thing yesterday. So we've had circumstances where we've had to extend for a couple days, and our bill coverage, like how long it takes us to like pass and deliberate on bills, has been somewhat extended and travel along with our budget, you know, conference and negotiations, because they're essentially being taken up completely separate, and we are definitively done with bills today. No one knows if we're going to do like a hanky drop today, like a signy die handkerchief drop, the tradition that we have, and call it a day, and then kind of sort of like have a special session just on the budget in a couple weeks. So I'm learning along with everybody else today if that's what we're planning on doing or not.
Okay. So, but the requirement is just that a budget gets passed in the year. It doesn't have to be passed in regular session, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest pomp and circumstance guy, so I've never looked into it.
What color socks are you wearing to session today? Are you wearing pink socks, signy dye socks, or are you wearing something else?
Well, I wear boots, so...
So it doesn't matter.
So no one will ever see those socks no matter what.
We'll just leave all that where it is. I want to ask you a question about the bill that I just played the clips from the debate around, which is the Trump Library bill to protect the, we figure, likely creation of the Trump Library in South Florida from being restricted at all by any local zoning board. I get the idea here because what you want to do is prevent the liberals from thwarting something that should definitely be in that locale. On the other hand, isn't there something sort of unconservative about passing a bill that tells the local zoning boards that they have no say whatsoever? I mean, what if Trump decides to erect a giant gold tower and, you know, like the kind of gaudy thing that Trump could very well do? Is there no concern that he might do it in a way that would really be inappropriate?
No, it would still be Trump's presidential library, and we should absolutely have Trump's presidential library here in the state of Florida. I don't see it being that big of a deal in the development of one parcel or one project, simply because like the land use and the zoning regulations at the local government level are really designed for, you know, making sure that patterns start existing, right? So there's zones of cohesion. We can make an exception to those zones of cohesion and those patterns for Trump's presidential library. I think the more gaudy and outlandish, the bigger the landmark, the bigger the draw, and the more prominent it becomes. So I'm not overly concerned on this one preemption, but I get where you're coming from.
The agriculture bill that we kind of joked around in Transgressors, I actually played your clip of the nut juice. I thought that was hilarious. That's the only thing anybody's been talking to me about for the last day, by the way, is the nut juice comment. we're all a bunch of 12-year-olds. I did have this is maybe an odd question. In the agriculture bill, the part about chicken product or poultry products and meat products, it doesn't specify chicken and beef. It seems to me like it's not prohibitive enough if you're trying to accomplish the purpose. Somebody could still call it chicken substitute or beef substitute because the words poultry and meat are what are banned. Am I missing something here?
I don't think you are. I haven't looked that closely at that bill itself. But no, I don't think you are. I mean, it's not designed to completely eliminate the possibility of someone trying to make a connection. It's designed to just try and make sure that no one can mistake what is definitely not chicken as chicken.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't believe it's not butter is probably too close to calling it butter. Like, you know what I mean? It's tough for me to pinpoint it, and I understand where you're coming from on, like, you have issues with it. A lot of us had issues with it, but it was just never enough to, like,
vote down the bill
to that level. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I didn't drill down too hard on that bill.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not butter is really a classic example of that's a great example of fabulous branding that would maybe not quite be prohibited by this, but certainly be discouraged by the tone of it or whatever. I do have, you know, free market kind of, you know, free speech kind of questions about it, but I don't want customers to be misled and, you know, I don't want somebody to inadvertently consume some, you know, almond milk and mistakenly thinking that it's regular milk. The fluoride part of this, though, big deal.
Yeah.
And the governor's, the Senate passed it. It's a Senate bill you guys are working on. The governor's going to sign it, I assume. That's the expectation. We're really banning fluoride in the state of Florida in the drinking water. Is that right?
Yeah. That's my understanding. And it from that context, it makes sense to me. I mean, you know, there's no consent that's given when you turn on your tap water.
Right.
And the idea of the government essentially injecting, you know, vitamins or medicine into the drinking water is an odd idea. I don't think fluoride is necessarily killing anybody. I don't think it was necessarily bad. I do think it had an added benefit for people in their oral health. But at the same time, I get it. So, again, it's just another kind of like we've taken something to its philosophical extent, and hopefully we don't have to have another debate on it next year.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Hey, one of the things, you know, I asked you last week, about the funding, you know, and your expectation that the governor is going to, you know, basically veto all of your funding projects because of his frustration with you over all of the Hope Florida Foundation stuff. And you're hoping that we would have any, you know, like a follow-up session that we'd have veto overrides for that kind of stuff. Any progress on that front? Any signals of, you know, what Speaker Perez is willing to do or what, you know, might be happening if those things come to pass? Because I got to assume, you know, you're not the only one. Michelle Salzman's not the only one. There might be others as well that would be willing. But, I mean, any sense of progress yet on this?
Well, we're not going to schedule, obviously, a veto override special session before we even have a budget.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, because, I mean, there's a possibility that because if we don't have an agreement, we have to have, like, a judicially created or set budget for the year, kind of akin to a continuing resolution at the federal level. If that's the case, then no projects will exist for anybody at all anyway. So no, I mean, it's looking as if the Senate is not as concerned about budget vetoes, which is interesting. You know, but, you know, like, I think I heard you mention with the mayor on Wednesday about projects like the Baptist money's taken care of. Like, that was on my list of things not to veto when the governor was my fan last session. So, like, the Baptist money's not going anywhere, and the city doesn't have any money in our current budgets anyway. There's no major project in this budget this year for the local region that would be as harmed. There's a lot of good things, like a lot of good things in here that I'm trying to get done for a lot of good organizations and groups and companies and people. But there's nothing as like significant as like that.
Doesn't the Baptist money have to get like extended or reauthorized because it's the next year? Isn't there some process there?
That's a completely legislative action.
Okay. So the governor can't veto that.
So long as we don't pull it back and mess with it because it hasn't been spent yet.
Okay.
It's not in this budget to be vetoed.
I gotcha. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. See, I had misunderstood that, so I'm glad you clarified that. Hey, last thing, I did want to give you a little bit of time. It's a complicated issue. I know it doesn't specifically address, you know, here in Escambia or Santa Rosa counties, but it is close by. It's the Walton Beach Bill. You have explained this many, many times. Where does this land now that the bill has been passed by the House? What is the actual outcome of this deal with customary use?
Okay, so there was a bill that was passed a few years ago, I think the year or two before I got there, in the Florida House. And the bill essentially said if a county wanted to declare customary use, the county had to go to court and ask a judge's permission to declare customary use.
Or public access, if you want to think of it that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, public access. So we passed a repealer bill yesterday, myself and Senator Jay Trumbull. We passed a repealer bill to do away with that statute. And really, all that means now is a county can declare customary use or public access, and it would be on the property owner that is probably losing some property rights to then be the one to go to court and seek a judge's permission to deny the county that ability to declare customary use. So from my perspective, it just changes who files the lawsuit. But I understood why some folks back in Walton County, you know, may have wanted it. So I was happy to help Senator Trumbull out and do it.
All right. Yeah. And again, that has been a, I know it's a big story for them and we're kind of close to them and sometimes they might listen to us or whatever. And I just wanted to give you a chance to explain that to folks who might otherwise not have gotten the information directly from you about a bill that you were sponsoring. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, again, thank you for the time as always during session and we'll look forward to more updates about what's happening with regards to a special session or budget discussions or let's fingers crossed, hope it doesn't come to this veto overrides. But as always, I really appreciate the time and the occasional quip that makes me laugh.
Thanks, Adrian.